On today's episode of the Talking Puck Podcast, boy, Mike so rarely gets going on things, doesn't he? I kid. But Mike Haynes, gonna be a little bit of a mixed bag for him today. It's called What's Bugging Mike? So stay tuned. There's a couple of fun topics on tap. And of course, as always, a couple of stories get mixed in as well. So stick around. We'll be right back with the start of the Talking Puck Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. Follow us on Twitter, please. I'm at Callahan on air. He's at BusterTheDog33. And I'm sure you're going to want to write down Mike's Twitter handle this week, because this episode is all about what's bugging Mike. And it's great, Mike. We have topics. You and I get heated over things from time to time. But you came at me today as we're getting ready to go. You're like, you know what? I want to get into a few things here, and I'm like, oh, all right. And I get pull out the pen and the paper, start writing things down. And, you know, we have a great time with this, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Plus, we have the show. Of course, I want to remind everybody, 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday nights, we do Talking Puck TV on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. But just to put it out there, you know, some topics get saved for the show. Some topics are timely enough that we have to get into them during the week when we do our podcasts. And Mike, we're taping this on a Friday. We're releasing this on a Friday. Thursday night, I want to start here. And we'll get to the pro hockey stuff. But college hockey is in the Frozen Four right now. Yeah. Let's just say, and I'm an ESPN Plus customer. But if you're not an ESPN Plus live streaming customer, and even if you are, things were a little limited as far as viewing options. Why don't you tell us about your personal experience with watching the hockey games?
Well, you know what? The older I get, the more I am becoming the old man yelling at kids to get off the lawn, that cliche. Or do you ever see those progressive commercials where the older guy is showing the new homeowners how to behave and not become like their parents?
Yes.
Have you seen those commercials? Yes. So I have become my dad, and unfortunately, and I just see stuff that just bugs me and bothers me. And so we really could do a whole binge. This could be a 12 episode, show of things that bug Mike. Cause I could,
that's just one week.
Yeah. It's easy. We could do 12 episodes and you could binge on all things that bug me. But they're, unfortunately, that's become my life now. What is bugging Mike this week? But, let's begin with, there's several things this week, but let's begin with, the college hockey broadcast. And like you, we have in our family, and now my son is normally watching it, seems like 24 hours a day, or when he's not, I think maybe even in school, he's watching his ESPN Plus and watching games, and and I'll watch him in the evening and catch up what's going on. But sometimes you just kind of want to sit on the couch, and again, that here's that age, and I just want to sit there on the couch and watch some games. And so we were figuring out that we have a little bit of emotional tie-in to the Frozen Four because one of the local teams, the University of Denver, the Pioneers, they're in it. They were in the Final Four, and so we want to watch the game against Michigan, we have Comcast, so you can look at you can go on and see, okay, what are all the sports on that moment. And they have a listing, and there was, look, nothing against it if you're into it, but they were having women's softball. They were having gymnastics. The baseball, obviously, opening day had started, so there are a lot of baseball games. But again, gymnastics, women's softball, all these sports. I'm going through the list, and I'm going, where is the men's college hockey Final Four, for crying out loud?
Right.
This is the Final Four, right? Basketball. Look, I love basketball, college basketball. I was glued to the college basketball, and they were seemingly on every channel, during March Madness, right? You couldn't turn on your TV without catching a basketball game. So it was really bothering me that I couldn't find the hockey games last night, and there were going to be two of them. You had Denver against Michigan, and then you had Minnesota against Minnesota State. Well, by the time we finally found a game, it was the Minnesota against Minnesota State game. And we see that it's on. I flip it on. It's ESPN3, and I'm listening. I'm going, do I have tinnitus? Is there something wrong in my ear? So this doesn't sound right to me. And it hit me. I'm listening to the game in Spanish. The only availability for a Final Four college hockey game. You get down to the Final Four, the four best teams in the country. And I got to watch, nothing against Spanish-speaking people, but I don't speak Spanish. And I'm going, why is this the only option for me to be able to watch a Final Four game? But it is funny, though, as the game was going on, and I've watched so many hockey games throughout my life, the cadence was exactly the same. It was, you know, it was just sort of that same hockey broadcast. And I sort of started to get lulled into, I sort of went, I'm just kind of watching and just enjoying the game. And the announcing kind of went in the background with the same cadence that you usually hear for hockey broadcasters. But it still bugged me that I had to watch a Final Four game in college hockey in Spanish last night. And that was my only option, is what really bugged me.
I had a similar experience, even with my ESPN Plus streaming that I have. And, of course, ESPN's picked up the majority of the NHL games this year. I did find the end of... I was listening on satellite radio at first because I was out and about doing some stuff, but then made it home for the third period and the eventual overtime. Well, I found the stream only by actually having to go all the way down to NCAA and then NCAA hockey. Men's hockey on all these sub channels that ESPN Plus offers. So there was the stream. Okay, great. So third period, English. We're going to overtime now in the Michigan game, right? Well, they're switching stations. So they switch stations, and that becomes baseball tonight on this particular stream. And then, Mike, the only option was Spanish. That was the only way I could keep watching was ESPN Deportes. So I did put that on, and I'm like, yeah, maybe... maybe it'll just be in on the English side and they're carrying the studio show. Nope. No, it was not. And I started the overtime as you did with the Spanish feed there. And then finally, like, there's got to be a day because I do the multi-screen thing. You could do through certain devices. And I finally found, they said, well, it's switching over to ESPNU. Well, it's not like regular cable where you just go, oh, I'll tune to ESPNU. No, it's wherever they put the stream, and then you got to find the box. And I couldn't find it. Finally, probably 5-6 minutes into the overtime, which, of course, it could be over by then. Right. Finally, the ESPNU stream shows up, and I was able to watch the game end in English. So, and I got a couple of holy shnikes in there from Buchagross. So, you know, be that as it may, exciting conclusion to that. And then I did, you know, watch the Minnesota State game. I got an English feed, though, I got to tell you, through the online stream. Right. But it just, look at you. You're so just cheesed about this. Cheesed.
Well, I'm not as you are so far beyond me technology wise. I'm a simple man.
Right.
I just want to turn the TV on. I want to turn the TV on, scroll, and then I find the game that I want to watch. That's it.
Yep.
That's all I want.
Now we live in a world where you can talk to your remote and tell it to go there.
What? But my son did say to me, he goes, well, you know, you could put the closed captioning on. It'll come in English. So I go, I'm not reading the screen while the game is going
on. Honest, yes, that thought occurred to me as well. But I'm like, there's no way I'm going to, because then I'll start reading.
Right.
And I'm not watching anymore.
No, I know.
And I mean, names are still names. You know, you're still going to get the names in there. So, but exciting hockey. It just, you know, so I'm hoping for Saturday night, Mike, that we actually get a good stream, that a national championship game, and here's really the other point about this, a national championship game gets like a decent slot somewhere in the ESPN family of networks and doesn't get relegated to the back channels.
Yeah, it just shows, again, I like college basketball. I enjoy it very much, and broadcasted a lot of college basketball games. But it was on every channel, it felt like, you know, for several weeks. And why can't, you know, it just shows you what ESPN thinks about hockey, number one, and then what it really thinks about college hockey, which is not much. And meanwhile, I've got to scroll through, you know, gymnastics and volleyball and, you know, and women's softball games. And, hey, God bless them. You know, if you're the parents, you're going to want to watch the game. But otherwise, I'm looking for the college hockey Final Four game, and I end up watching in Spanish. Tom, that really bugged me.
Oh, how could it? I'm surprised it doesn't bug the NCAA more, honestly. That's because that's one of your marquee events.
It should. It really should. If you're in charge of hockey in the NCAA, it's not acceptable. Yeah. You've got to find a different outlet. You've got to find somebody who's interested in broadcasting. And you know, they're playing the games in Boston. I mean, this is a big time market that they're playing in. The crowds look good. You know, the teams are exciting, I thought. And man, they had a good game, especially that first one in overtime. It was a really fun game. So very disappointing that I ended up having to, again, nothing against people who speak Spanish. It's just that I don't, and I just want to watch the game and not have to read it.
Right, because you're not going to watch it at that point.
So anyway, that's one of the things that was bugging me.
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show.
And the other thing that was bugging me too this week, look, we've already done our rants, or I have at least, on retiring jerseys. And if you haven't heard, only the superstars should have their numbers retired. If you are just a star, no, you can have your number honored, but shouldn't be retired. Marian Hossa is going to have his number retired by Chicago. I don't think he warrants a number retirement. But more than that, what's bugging me this week, Tom, is that he is signing a one-day contract to come back as a Chicago Blackhawk. I don't know why this just gets under my skin. You know what? I don't know why it just bothers me, because it's so meaningless. You're not, if you were going to sign a contract and come back and play at the end of your career, okay, that's different. Even if it's at the end of a season. But the fact that you're just signing a one-day contract and not even getting on the ice, I don't know. Tom, it bugs me. I don't know why, but it bugs me. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Well, I think he had a burning desire not to retire as an Arizona Coyote. That might have been.
Yeah, but what does it? How does that matter? What does it matter that you're retiring as a Blackhawk when you never play a game again with them? I just don't understand the meaning of it.
Right.
It means nothing to me. And let's say I take my favorite. All right, I'll try to put myself in the position. All right, my favorite player growing up was Eddie Jochen of the New York Rangers. That was my favorite player. He got traded to the Detroit Red Wings. Anybody who's ever been a Ranger fan or a hockey fan will recall right after the trade was made, Detroit came back to Madison Square Garden, and in one of the loudest ovations in the history of the New York Rangers, Eddie Jacquemin was welcomed back by the Rangers fans. It was one of the great moments in New York Rangers history. But I never, if he had come back and signed a one-day contract after he had retired, if several years after he retired, it would mean nothing to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. It bugs me, Tom.
It's a publicity stunt is really what it boils down to here, Mike. And I think that that's the easiest way to explain it is the team's getting a little extra pub and a little extra love for the player. It's a media event that they can have. And oh, we have some good press for today. You know, look, one-day contracts are a PR move. That's all they are. So I understand. It's not – who cares? Like, if you're a Hall of Fame player, which Hossa's not, I don't know. Maybe
I don't
he
think
is.
He is.
We can have that debate, too. I don't even know that he's worthy of getting his jersey retired in Chicago, but we can have
he's
that
not.
Debate, too. And again, is it the Hall of Good, the Hall of Great, or the Hall of Fame? You know, you tell me what your bar is, and then we'll figure it out. But I don't think everybody should just be let in who was a pretty good player. So my point being is – I can see where Chicago is looking for a little positive publicity these days. It's been a rough, organizationally, it's been a rough season, not just on the ice. Right. So I get those things, but they become the common trend in sports. Like, you know, oh, I'm coming home to my team. I'll be honest with you. I can't believe that Marian Hossa's contract was actually still going on this long. I did forget about him. That's kind of another weird thing of the cap era that we live in is teams basically buy dead space on their cap just to, you know, have the money sitting there. And I don't know. I'm not so fast to throw jerseys in the rafters. I don't mind because I have, you know, and you have to, you've worked in the minors, you know that you're dying for anything you can do in the minors for PR. You know, in the NHL, maybe it's a little different, but when you've had a season like Chicago has, you know, maybe this is a way to remind fans, hey, we're paying the piper now, but we did win 3 Stanley Cups and this guy was here for that era and, you know, he was part of it. And, you know, maybe that's how you're going about it, as opposed to trying to cast the negative light on there. But I don't know. I don't. One-day contracts don't matter. They don't matter. I mean, maybe they do to a couple diehard fans and their Hossa jerseys, and they're like, oh my god, he's gonna retire a Blackhawk. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. That's what it's. And especially the guys who sign these one. It's one thing for a Hossa who's going to have a night when his number is retired, but.
You can have a night and not retire a number. You can bring a guy back, celebrate him in a night, and not raise a banner.
Right. But why are you doing both? Why are you bringing him back, signing a one-day contract, which he's not going to actually play a game, and then have a night? The ones that really bug me are the guys that sign the one-day contracts, but there's no night. There's no retiring. They just signed this one-day contract. It's. I understand what you're saying about the publicity, but is it also, if you're a Chicago Blackhawk fan, is it also a reminder of how bad things are now? I mean, is it instead of shining the light on, oh, remember when things were good? And is it more of, look how bad things are now?
Yeah.
It's just sort of, but maybe he sells. Now I get the night. You're going to sell tickets. You're going to sell jerseys. You're going to make some money. I get it. You know, it's a business, but I just don't understand the signing one day contracts to retire as a player is if that, you know, if you look at, I'm trying to think now, I don't think it even it'll, if you go through the record books and you and I have had, you know, you get these record books that the NHL hands out, and they list all the players who've ever played in the NHL. They list the teams that they played for, and they have little tiny notes of if they were traded or signed and all that sort of thing. But it's not going to read when you look at the list. It's like looking at the back of a baseball card, if you will, and you go, okay, he played this many years with this team and that. It's not going to list him playing in Chicago for one day.
Right
on his record. You know, I guess I just don't understand. It just seems silly to me. Anyway, that was another thing that was just bugging me this week.
Yeah, well, it kind of reminds me of Family Guy when Peter's like, "What grinds my gears?" it's funny, Mike. And so I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan. Growing up in the area, and that's my right. team. I love those guys. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head, can I even remember anyone who signed a one-day contract with the Bills? I'm sure it's happened. Can I tell you anyone who's done it? No. I really can't. I can honestly cannot think of who might have done that. I mean, I can take some guesses.
It had to be somebody who left. Right. And then would have to come back. And I'm with you. I'm trying to think of,
Bruce Smith, maybe? Maybe
like the Thurman Thomases and Jim Kellys, those guys all ended their careers right with Buffalo.
Yeah. Bruce Smith, I think, went to Washington.
Did he?
Yeah.
I was going to say
maybe him.
I know they took Scott Norwood out on a rail, tarred and feathered.
Oh
but
my goodness!
Did he ever? I'm just kidding.
So story time with Tom. I was at the Super Bowl rally the day the Buffalo came back. I actually skipped school to go to this rally. And it was that was the first Super Bowl against the Giants, Super Bowl 25. And I got to tell you, when I can't even remember who it was that stepped up to speak first, it was probably Jim Kelly, but the crowd chanted Norwood's name until they brought him up to the podium. And when he came up to the podium, he tried to speak, he broke down in tears and everybody just cheered, you know, like, "Hey man, we got your back." Yes, it sucks, but the people at that rally, however many thousands of people were in Lafayette Square, had his back. Now, nationally, I can't imagine the pressure that he went through. And he was never the same.
But if he played for Philadelphia, that story you just told would end differently.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd be cheering for him to come up.
Right.
So that then they could throw things at him.
Yeah. Put him front and center so we can really aim.
So we can... It just shows you what a nice town Buffalo is. You put him in New York or Philadelphia or Boston, that guy gets he doesn't make it out of that that ceremony alive.
Yeah, that's kind of a different feeling. But you know, we still had optimism. We had three more Super Bowls to lose yet. We didn't know that.
Hey, he's the Bill Buckner of football.
So. Yeah. Oh, poor Bill Buckner. Shouldn't even been in the game, Mikey. Shouldn't even been in the game. Should have been a late inning defensive replacement.
I think I told you it's about a month ago, maybe it was 6 weeks ago. I rewatched. I got a book in the library. I don't know why we're going off this tangent. I'm sorry. I'll keep it short. I got a book in the library of players from the 1986 Mets, and them just talking about the season. They had little quotes from everybody, and then I got so involved again, I ended up rewatching the entire playoff series against Houston and then Boston.
Wow!
And I don't know. I remember I watched every inning that year of the playoffs when it actually happened back in 86. Anyway, sorry, I went on a wrong tangent there. But that poor Bill Buckner, watching him walk off. I think about stuff like this. I hear, let me just bring it back to hockey and you as a goalie. I watched and replayed it. I watched when the ball went through his legs and Mookie gets to first and then, the players come around and Ray Knight and everybody come in and score and they win. And then they put the camera on Buckner and he's walking head down, walking across the field. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a long walk. And that's a tough locker room to walk into. And I go, immediately my thoughts go hockey. And I always think of the goalies. And that long skate after losing, we've talked about what goalies do after overtime, but just that feeling of losing a game in overtime in that long skate to get off the ice. And then go sit in the locker room as all the players come in and you're the goalie and you're just sitting there. And now it's a team game, but the goalie, that feeling, Tom, must be horrendous of skating off the ice and going into the locker room and sitting there after you've lost a game in overtime. It has to be Bill Buckner-esque at times, especially in the playoffs and especially in a Stanley Cup finals game. Oh my goodness. That must be just a horrible feeling.
And we've seen everybody have every reaction to it, right? From anger to disbelief to, you know, just being frozen with sadness and shock. You know, guys who just, they'll sit in their gear for hours after a game ends like that, you know, or there's other guys who, like you used to say about, you know, Varlamov running off with his hair on fire.
he did. He became Pavel Bure, you know, yeah. Off the ice.
And what happened? Did the defenseman make a mistake, or did, you know, something right. happen? It, you know, everything's relative, but. Yeah, I do think of that, especially those cup-winning overtime goals. What do they show immediately? The celebration, right? Oh. Everybody's coming off the bench, gloves are flying, right. And then you always see, and it's usually just like the tip of the helmet going by in the shot. You just see the goaltender just sailing through that shot.
I know. It's just hard. I just think about it. It just pains me. It just really makes me feel something. And then, especially if it ends a series, to have to get in line, stand there, and shake hands.
Yeah.
And I remember, and you and I have joked about it before. There was that famous Dino Cicerelli after the 96 series with Detroit and Claude Lemieux and all that stuff. And when he said, I can't believe I shook his freaking hand. But then I watched in the years that came after that, Tom, and this really, again, here's what bugs Mike. I would watch the Red Wings not shake Claude Lemieux's hand. And I remember going off on the air because, you know, you follow it. And I would just say, I would just talk about the classlessness and just because the thing is in hockey, you're killing each other out there. You hate each other. But the beauty is at the end of it, you have to shake the hand of the other team. And Detroit wouldn't do it. Wouldn't shake his hand. Chris Draper, one of the most classless guys ever. I understand his anger, but hockey, you're supposed to rise above that, and that's one of the beauties in hockey is you shake the hands of the people you hate after the game, and Detroit wouldn't do it.
In all fairness, I would have had a real hard time shaking his hand. I probably wouldn't have.
You have to, Tom. You have to. You don't have a choice.
Don't.
You have to. Yes, you have to shake hands.
Here's okay, so here's where you and I disagree. When it comes to personal intent to injure, no. I draw the line there. Again, you know, I'm a player safety guy. But again, like if somebody goes in, drills my guy in the back, rearranges his face, breaks his jaw, no. Because you tried to hurt my guy. And, you know, and look, I'm not saying Lemieux's the only one. There are plenty of players out there. Terry Crisp used to tell a story about, I'm trying to think, I think it was Bobby Plager one time. They were in a playoff series in St. Louis. And I can't remember who it was, and I can't remember the other player, but it was one of the best players on the other team. And they were talking about in the locker room how, you know, so-and-so John Smith was going to be a real problem for them in the series. And so Plager goes out. After they were talking about this on the bench, comes back and says he's not going to be a problem anymore. He's like, what do you mean? And he said, I just broke his ankle. So he went out there and two-handed the guy. And I think it was from the Rangers, Mike. He two-handed the guy, broke his ankle just to get him off the ice. Like, that stuff happens. You know, and it's I get it, but I do not at all like it, and I don't stand for it.
Well, but that's not my point. In hockey, you have to shake the guy's hands after the game.
I would not shake Claude Lemieux's hand if he threw me into the boards like that. I wouldn't do it. So that's okay. Okay. No.
It's okay. It's okay that you're wrong this time, Tom.
Okay. All right. Yep. We'll just agree to disagree.
We'll just
what's
agree
bugging
right,
Tom? Let's get to that. Yeah, that it's a tough one because, yes, you want to be a sportsman. You want to show that. Like, I'll shake the hand of the guy that just beat me to win the game. Like, if I get beat on a breakaway to win the game, I'll shake that guy's hand. I'll be mad about it, but I'll shake his hand.
But if he runs you, to try to hurt you during the game, you're like not shaking his hand?
No, if he spears me in the package, I'm not shaking that guy's hand. I'm just as like, I might go
was
after.
There ever a case, was there anybody in all your years of playing that you didn't shake a hand after a game?
Yes, actually, because it ended up in a handshake brawl. So Gosh, I wish I could remember the specifics of this one. I just remember it turning into a handshake line brawl. It was a particularly testy tournament. It was the final of the tournament, and it was just one of those where the teams hated each other, you know? And I can't even remember if we won. I'm pretty sure we lost. But we're going through the line, and, you know, there's always going to be smug people, let's say, on the other team.
Oh, yeah.
It had been a tough game where, like, you know, I gotten run into, and I felt it was very much on purpose. You know, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of activity in the crease. There was a lot of that sort of thing. And the handshake line didn't last 10 seconds. It just all of a sudden it was just everybody was starting to pair off. And I mean. But again, this is back in the day, Mike, when that happened. You know, we don't see that anymore. We don't see line brawls anymore. And we've talked about why we don't. We barely see fighting anymore in the game. So I guess a little bit different era. You know,
I think we got to bring this up one night on a Sunday night show, and I love to get people's feedback on whether is it better just to skate off rather than this is a great topic. Do you just skate off and don't shake anybody's hands then? I've seen coaches do that where they just won't even get in the line, right? Have you seen that before? Coaches would just skip the line. Well, rather than cause any problems or do anything, just better just stand on the bench and then go to the locker room. Don't go out on the ice. Anyway, I think there's a great topic what people think about this. I'm surprised because you're old school hockey. I thought for sure you would agree that no matter what, you have to shake a hand. Nope. This is a good topic.
It is a good topic.
We can throw this in the chat some Sunday, whether or not. Oh, this is a really hot topic. I like it. Anyway, I don't know. We got into some other things that are bugging me, but anyway, so just a few things that are bugging me this week, Tom.
There you go. That's a good pause. That's a good place to end this particular one. And
yes. I'm not shaking your hand at the end of this podcast.
We're not shaking hands at the end of the podcast. That's for sure, Mike. You can go to your dressing room and gloat.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening in, everybody. The Talking Puck podcast is obviously available everywhere you get your podcasts. And I want to remind everybody, we are on stnradio.com as well on Monday night, 7 o'clock Eastern. It is a replay of our Sunday night show. So if you miss the Sunday night 9 p.m. broadcast, which is on Twitch, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook streaming live as well. You can certainly catch us there if you miss that on the replay. So stnradio.com. All right. Well, for Mike and I, we will catch up with you again soon. We have more podcasts on the way. And of course, we chat with you every Sunday night. So for Mike, I'm Tom. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.